Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Everlasting, while earthly ages fade. In mercy, our God, your kingdom reigns. Lord, over everything, you are near.
This edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Reed, and sitting in, Pastor Stephen Tay.
Hello.
Good to have you here, Stephen.
Thank you.
How's things going for you?
I am doing well.
Excellent. Excellent. Pastor Adams is away this week, so we're just going to carry on with the Bethany Hour. You know, this is one of the longest running radio programs in the Pioneer Valley, and we give God all the glory for this. It's been going on for decades, so thank you to everyone who listens. We would love to hear from you if you want to send us a card. Just saying, hey, loyal listener, we'll send you something like a card back saying thank you.
Or a mug.
Maybe a mug.
Who knows? We could do that.
You never know. So, no, we would love to hear from you. It's funny because I will run into people that say, hey, you know, hear you guys every Sunday, get up every Sunday morning and listen to the show. So thank you for that. Glad it's an encouragement to you. So get that cup of coffee. And some of you listen, you know, let me skip because some of you listen on another radio program. So not just on AM 560, there's another radio station that runs the Bethany Hour as well. So thank you. That runs during the day. I'm thinking it's a Thursday or a Friday. I can't remember which, but yeah, it's up in the Greenfield area. So we are grateful for that show happening as well. So thank you very much for being supporters of the Bethany Hour for so many years. So grab that cup of coffee or a hot tea.
Amen.
What do you like to drink?
Coffee.
Steven? Coffee.
Black.
Flavored?
No.
I've fallen in love with toasted pecan coffee.
Oh.
Yeah, you can only get it in one grocery store around here. And so, really loving it. So, I do my toasted pecan, and here we go. We're going to dive into the Bible, Acts chapter 7, verse number 55. So, we've been reading through the great history lesson that Stephen is giving to the Pharisees and to the religious leaders of the day. And he starts right at the beginning with Abraham, and he kind of runs through this thumbnail sketch of the history and basically gets them to the one where, hey, you betrayed and murdered Jesus. You've received the law that was put into effect through angels, but you have not obeyed it. So he pretty much slams them.
He does. Slams them hard.
I mean, you know, you think about that, and then you wonder why in the next moment, verse number 54, it says, when they heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a moment that must have been for him.
Yeah, it must have been incredible. And obviously, it's for Stephen, obviously for the early church. He apparently told someone before he was stoned to death of what he was seeing, because obviously he does in the next verse. He tells everyone that's present the things that he is seeing, and that's one of the reasons why they pick up stones to stone him. But it's an important moment because we see here a man about to be stoned, and yet in contrast to that, we see Jesus at the right hand of God. And I don't think this is a point that we should miss, is that sometimes we think that Jesus will reign when he comes back, or that he'll be king when he comes back. And in contrast to that, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he received, in fact, he says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's already king.
Yeah.
And that's what Stephen is seeing here. He's seeing that in spite of my circumstance on earth, Jesus is already king. And in spite of what these people did to him, the history lesson he just gave them, Jesus is, in spite of that, he's king.
He's still king. You know, we talk about that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that comes on the earth. And the kingdom was something that the Jewish people were very familiar with. They were wanting the kingdom to be restored. There was a promise made to King David, who, you know, very famous king for them, and that somebody from his lineage would rule in Jerusalem, in the temple. At least this is what they thought. And they were hoping, and they were waiting, and they were anxious. Anticipating a king to come, the Messiah to come. And when Jesus stepped onto the scene, he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies that were made, but he didn't do what they wanted to do to set up the kingdom.
Right. He didn't do exactly what they expected him to do. And it's interesting that when Jesus comes, he says, you know, this is how I'm going to rule. The Gentiles rule one way and they lord over one another, but here's how you're to treat one another.
Yeah.
The greatest among you is to be a servant. And then he serves them, washing their feet, and then ultimately dying for them. So the kind of kingdom he came to demonstrate was one that was motivated by the love of God and a desire for relationship. The kind of kingdom they expected was one that fulfilled their political and temporal right. hopes and dreams of a restoration of nation. Now, Jesus is going to restore a nation as right. well, and he's going to bring righteousness, and he's going to bring ultimately peace. But his offer to everyone is first the service of forgiveness
right.
and the bringing them back into relationship with God.
It's awesome because Paul says we're brought out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son that God loves. And so we are a part of a kingdom. You're part of one of two kingdoms. Either you're under the dominion of darkness, or you're in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider that, and then look at this picture that we have here of a man that's full of the Holy Spirit who was chosen to be one of the deacons, one of the servants, so that the apostles could be about preaching and teaching and prayer. And so they chose Stephen and a host of other gentlemen in Acts chapter 6 so that they could serve the widows. You know, there was an issue going on in the church. And so Stephen was one of those men that was chosen. And one of the things was that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're able to do things that some people may say, how do you do that? How do you deal with that in life? Well, here, Stephen is about to be martyred, to become the first martyr in the church in Scripture. And he had a peace about himself, and he had a strength and a power. And Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to have power. You're going to have this incredible power from heaven, from God, that's going to enable you to do things that you never thought possible.
Yeah.
And I really think that's what Stephen was able to do right here in this moment.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that Stephen is not an apostle, and yet he is the first person to be a martyr
or
a witness unto death
yeah.
as such for the faith. And it speaks to the work of the Holy Spirit in yeah. any individual's life and the ability of God to use you, whoever you are and wherever you are. He's able to use you if you'll surrender and submit to the work of God's Spirit in your life. And I think the other important thing that this shows us is the Holy Spirit gives us a vision of Jesus if we're willing yeah. to open our eyes. Not that we're all going to look up into heaven like Stephen did and see a literal vision, but yeah. he enables us to see the importance and the centrality of Christ to,
yeah.
to all of life, and how Stephen is able to overcome the fear of death here.
Right.
You see the manner in which he dies. We'll read it in just a moment. And he overcomes the fear of death because he understands that these people who think they have all the power have no power over yeah. him, just as Jesus did when he died. He says to Pilate, the only reason you have any authority is because it was given to you by God.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's incredible. I mean, as we read that verse, you know, he looked up to heaven. He saw the glory of God. And one day we'll be able to see that. Like you said, if you're born again, born of the Spirit, you will be able to see those things.
Yeah.
And he says, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, I've heard ministers talk about that. You know, some people say when he ascended, he was seated at the right hand of God the Father. And this one says he was standing at the right hand of God. What do you think about that whole seated, standing motif thing? Does that make a big difference? Does his standing at the right hand of God?
The only thing I've ever heard or thought about it was that, yeah, most of the time it's seated because sitting down was the posture of someone who's ruling.
Right.
Standing up, I've heard people suggest that it's a posture of receiving Stephen,
right.
that he's standing to welcome Stephen.
Welcome him in.
So yeah. that could be part of it. Either way, though, the right hand is indicative of
yeah.
that Jesus is in the place of authority in this situation.
And once again, it proves, it does prove that Jesus is alive.
Right.
And that Jesus, when he ascended into the clouds, he just didn't disappear into nothingness.
Right.
But here's a literal figure. And hey, that's critical for your Christianity, for your belief system, to know that Jesus was a real human being, that he was put to death at the hands of Pontius Pilate, and that he was nailed to a tree, to a cross, and he was buried in a tomb. But on that Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. He came back to life.
Yeah.
And now he is in heaven. And one day we are going to stand and be face to face with him.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment, that's what Stephen was seeing. And he says in verse number 56, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So once again, he just affirms that I'm getting ready to go into glory,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and their response is indicative of what they're thinking. In verse 57, it says, but they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. I mean, this is something that Jesus had told them, especially the religious leaders himself. He had said, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God and coming in glory, right? And so this is at least a partial fulfillment of that, which is why it makes them so angry.
Sure.
Because Stephen is claiming that what Jesus said has actually come to pass.
Isn't that awesome?
That Jesus, when he said, I'm going to be seated at God's right hand, Stephen is saying, and he is.
There he
in
is.
Spite of what you tried to do to stop it and to stop him, there he is.
Here's this historical lesson from Abraham to Moses to David, all the way down to Jesus, to the one that you murdered. And I'm telling you, I see it with my eyes. I can see heaven's open, and I see Jesus standing there at the right hand of God the Father. They covered their ears. They were screaming. We don't want to hear anything like this. You know, and in some ways, that's front page news today. I mean, people, when you start talking to them about Jesus, some people are receptive and they want to learn more about Jesus. They want to talk about Jesus. But other people, they want to cover their ears and they start lifting their voice and say, we don't want anything to do with Jesus. So, you know, what happened then, happening today, there's nothing new under the sun. So there are going to be some people that when you talk about Jesus, it's gonna strike a chord with them. And some are going to say, tell me more about Jesus and what he's done for your life. And when you share your story with people, when you tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you, they can't argue with theology, because you're saying, this is what Jesus Christ has done for me. I know it. I've experienced it. It's real to me. We can talk about theological stuff and point to things in Scripture, but a changed life is so powerful. And then there's other people that are just going to reject it for whatever reason and just say, I just can't believe it.
Yeah, and to some extent, you know, that's their prerogative. God has given them the ability to do that as part of his grace to them and his mercy to them even. But that shouldn't stop us from sharing the good news. And I don't think we have to be afraid of that, of people's rejection. Certainly, we can see here that Stephen wasn't afraid to confront.
Not at all.
To confront these people who had hardened hearts and stiff necks, he said.
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid to confront them. Not that we're always thinking of what we do as confronting people, but it is. There's a confrontation when the gospel occurs. And so you can expect some opposition when that happens, but we don't have to be afraid of that.
You know, and then verse number 58, they dragged him out of the city. And they began to stone him. Now, once again, innocent man. All he did was kind of share a story with them. Obviously, in regards to their viewpoint was, you know, he's committing heresy here. He's talking about seeing God. Nobody can see God and live. And so they had their reasons for doing what they did. And so they took him out. They began to stone him. And meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. So here we're introduced to a new character in the book of Acts, a gentleman named Saul. We've read the rest of the story, so we know who this guy is and what happens to him. But this is a great verse for you to think about and for you to remember later on as we get deeper into the book of Acts, that Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen.
Yeah.
And he was a young man, and he was giving approval to all of this. And, you know, it's a critical moment, because this person will have a profound impact on the church later on. What are your thoughts about that right there?
It's kind of surprising that you only hear later on in Saul's life and Paul's life, you only hear generalizations about what he did prior to his conversion and when he met Jesus. You don't ever hear him refer specifically back to this moment, which is a little surprising. Certainly, you would think he has this moment in mind, at least in part. He obviously did other things as well, but this seems to be at least how Acts introduces him to us as, while he doesn't pick up rocks himself, and he's not doing that, he is holding the garments. He's giving approval to what's going on to Stephen, and I'd certainly think that has to shape his life later on.
Was there an age limit for people to be able to throw rocks? I know kids love to throw rocks.
I would assume you had to be an adult. I'm not sure, you know, how old Saul was at this point. It says he was a young man, so I would assume he would be of age if he was there and he gets to hold garments, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So the religious leaders, they said, here, we don't want to get our cloaks dirty. So Saul, you hold the cloaks, we'll throw the rocks.
Yeah.
Okay. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. So you're getting pelted with rocks. What do you do? You pray.
You pray.
you start talking to God. But listen to the prayer.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's a pretty short prayer.
Yeah. Well, it comes straight from Jesus, right? Into your hands I commit my spirit, right?
There it is, yeah. And then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Like you said, it is very similar to the prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. You know, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So very similar words, just forgiveness and recognition that when we pass from this life into eternal life, our spirit, that which has been born again, born from above, will go above, will be ushered into the presence of God, which is the hope that we have. It's called the blessed hope, man. We are hinging, our future on that promise that Jesus said, whoever believes in me will have eternal life.
Yeah, and even the end of the verse there, it says, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. That hints at that blessed hope that we have, not only that we'll be in Jesus' presence spiritually, but that when the next time he stands up from his throne will be to return and he'll resurrect the dead. And that's how the Bible euphemistically refers to death throughout, as the believers fell asleep.
Right.
And it's a reminder to us that believers don't take death to be the final state.
Right.
It's an in-between moment for us, but Christ will return and we will be resurrected and we will have eternity with him forever.
It's so exciting to think about that. That, you know, when you think about death, it can be real heavy. It can be real emotional, moving subject. I'm doing two funerals this week myself, and so it's heavy on families, you know, to say goodbye to loved ones. But when you put it in context of what Jesus did, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection, and then he says, man, I'm a first fruits of that. So I came back to life, and the same spirit that raised me from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in you. That full of the Holy Spirit stuff, that's what he's talking about there. We have a hope.
And it's supposed to characterize how we think about life. Amen. You know, that our lives, we so often in our culture, we have the same, Christians can fall in the same worldview that, you know, death is death.
Yeah.
But as believers in Jesus, we should have an expanded view of what God is doing. The timeline is bigger, which allows us to live differently now. We can take risks like Stephen did now because we believe in the blessed hope that Jesus is going to raise us.
Amen. Chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. So we're going to find out more about that in the coming weeks. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you. This is Pastor Reed and Pastor Tay wishing you a wonderful day.